yourself through these ways so that we will be able to understand and we'll be able to connect our lives to the life of Jesus Christ. As we open and read Luke chapter 3, and Heavenly Father, we pray that would you please bless us, bless our hearts, even bless me and my lips so that I could only bring the message of Jesus Christ to me and myself, to your wonderful people here at New Hope Church. Help us, Lord. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 25. And this is the Word of God. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and as saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I found no guilt in this man." But they were urgent in saying, "He stirs up the people and teaching throughout all Judea and from Galilee and even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And then when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had a long desire to see him because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by and vehemently accusing him, and then Herod was his soldiers, treating him with contempt and mocked him, and arraying him in splendid clothing. He sent him back to Pilate, and Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this day they had been in enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to him, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the nation, and after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserved death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. And so Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to them. Their will. Well, I don't know how many years you've been coming to the church and how many years you've been Christians. Some of you born as a Christian and some of not. But every year at this time around Easter season, Good Friday, we heard these wonderful stories, after stories. Now, Luke 22 illustrates the setting of Luke 23. So we have to touch that part a little bit of so that we can understand Luke 23. We know that Jesus was arrested, and he was brought to the Sanhedrin Council. And surely it was unusual for the Sanhedrin Council members gathering together at night to deal with one person. But by their action, we know that their intention was not to resolve the problem, but that their intention was to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't like him at all. So the religious leaders, priests and scribes and elders, they asked only one question, not many questions, but a very important question to Jesus. In chapter 22 and verse 67, it said, if you are the Christ, and tell us. Now Jesus answered, it's really interesting. If I tell you, you will not believe. It reminds us of all the prophets said, and Isaiah said, and Jeremiah said. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from our now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Now, first part of the answer was considered kind of misunderstanding for them, and they could not understand what Jesus said. But the second part is really strong. He said that the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So that word, that sentence made them really angry. Here, Jesus did not directly say that, yes, I am the Christ. But what Jesus told them surely indicates that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Because he said that the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So actually, the religious leader heard what they wanted to hear. So they were upset about what Jesus said and his answer. What Jesus says to them was enough for them to kill Jesus Christ, because what Jesus said to them was considered a blasphemy. How can you talk about our God? That's their reaction. But we know the truth that they could not kill Jesus Christ because they don't have any power to kill people because they were under government and under the Romans' rule. So they have to bring Jesus Christ to the governor, Pilate, to get his approval. That is a situation. So they had to seek permission from Pilate, the Roman governor. And then, because Pilate was responsible for maintaining law and order and the life of all the people, he also had a power of life and death over all people in the, like Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem. So he got the power. So the religious leaders, they had to get his permission. So the next morning, which is our text, the chief priests and the elders of the people visited Pilate to put Jesus to death. What interesting is, when you read the book of John, they went to Pilate's house, but they didn't go in because that's a Gentile's house. So I guess they yell at him, they requested Pilate to come out. It was early in the morning, very early in the morning. Now, it's interesting to read the other Gospels along with Luke chapter 23, because this Gospel, the Luke is only one. Luke only reports that the religious leaders brought three official charges against Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about these three official charges against Christ, and we will be talking about two witnesses, and then we'll be talking about the one who got God's grace at the very last. That's what I will go this sermon. And they said to Pilate in verse 2, and they declared, just literally yell out, that we found this man that misleading our nation for forbidding to us to give tribute to Caesar, and is saying that he himself is Christ, a king. It has all three in there. Now, from their language, first of all, we know how much they hated Jesus Christ. They did not call the name of Jesus Christ. They did not mention of his name, but call him as this man or this fellow. And many theologians agree that calling a person like a this man is very disgraceful, which was considered, this action was considered an action of disgrace or derogatory. So in their hearts, they just ignored Christ. In their hearts, from bottom of their hearts, they just give them all disgraceful things. The way they treated Jesus reminds us actually what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He was despised and rejected by many people. So sometimes we are acting together, and sometimes we ignore God. The religious leaders did the same thing. They rejected and they said a very disgraceful words, calling Jesus as this man, this fellow. And then they were talking about the first charge against Jesus. That was, Jesus was misleading the nation. And verse 2, this man, this fellow, this guy, misleading our nation, which is a big charge. Now here, the meaning of misleading in the original language is to pervert or to make a crooked or deform. So it's not a good language. Surely the religious leaders use this particular word to indicate, to describe that the whole nation was destroyed by this man. The whole nation was perverted by this man. The whole nation and people was kind of deformed by the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now, historically, the religious leaders used this particular word, misleading or perverted, when they describe a sorcerer or deceiver. So we get the sense that the religious leaders are describing Jesus Christ as a deceiver, as a sorcerer. The Bible, from the Old Testament, that there is no sorcery activities in practice. These religious leaders were convinced in their hearts that Jesus Christ practiced sorceries, which was forbidden by the law. So they have to punish him. And so also they accused the whole nation and people were affected by the teaching of Jesus Christ. The whole nation was in turmoil because of Jesus' false teaching and practice. So one thing is sure, we need to get rid of him, Pilate. You hear us? But the question that we have to ask is, did Jesus really pervert the nation, as they claim? Now, from our reading from last Sunday, we know that Jesus Christ came as the Prince of Peace, which is also in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He was talking about peace to Jerusalem, peace. We know that Jesus Christ did not mislead the nation and people at all. Well, actually, the nation was already perverted. The people in the nation is already kind of spiritually destroyed. And the book of John always said that Jesus taught the way of God. And also Jesus was leading them, is leading the nation and people to God. He is the way. John chapter 10 and verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. But unfortunately, people in the world did not recognize him and thinking that Jesus is misleading the nation and accuse him as misleading false prophet. And we remember what Apostle John says about this situation in John in chapter 1 and verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. But compared to our situation, the 21st century, same thing is happening to us. The world did not recognize Jesus Christ. So the religious leaders brought a good excuse and good charge against Jesus Christ to condemn, to kill him. But unfortunately, we know that Jesus Christ did not mislead the nation. So basically, we know that they were lying. The second charge was about tax, was about money. And they said, forbidding us to give a tribute to Caesar. Now, this is also, it could be a good argument, but it's a lying. We know that the religious leaders were lying because Jesus Christ actually taught his disciples that in Luke chapter 20 and 25, they have to pay tax. You have to pay tax to Rome. Jesus didn't teach them that, hey, you don't have to pay tax. But Jesus Christ encouraged people to pay tax to Rome. So the religious leaders falsely accused Jesus Christ and that Jesus forbade the payment of taxes to the emperor, which will be a big trouble to Pilate.
Now, first of all, the religious leaders knew that the Pilate would not permit to kill Jesus if Jesus was only like a only problematic to the Jews. If Jesus brought all kind of chaos, misleading the Jews, maybe Pilate would think that, okay, that's your problem. He's doing nothing to Rome. So they had to find some serious sin, some seriousness in Jesus Christ so that they can bring it to the Pilate. That was about money and tax, so that the Pilate would allow them to kill Jesus Christ. So they lied. When I was reading the text, I thought about many times I remember there were the people, the religious leaders, they were the people to find the truth, to teach God's people, but they're lying at this moment. Now, tax is a serious issue. It is a serious issue for Pilate. And tax is the money for their system, the finance system for the Rome to maintain the nation and the villages and people like taking care of their soldiers and their police and many other public buildings and businesses. They had to have money. So if Jesus forbade the paying of taxes, surely the Pilate will bring judgments to Jesus Christ. Surely Jesus Christ will bring a financial risk to Rome and even to Pilate's position and his life. So here, what we see is from the second charge, these smart religious leaders directly threatened Pilate. So basically what he's trying to say is, hey, Pilate, he is trying to destroy our nation, also your nation, this country. We know that you are the governor. You have to handle this if you are a good governor. So they're literally threatening Pilate. The third charge against Jesus is the most important one, we could say, and the true charge. They said, he himself is Christ. Declares it Christ a king. Now, we know what people said in Luke chapter 19, the last week Sunday's message. They said from Psalm 118 and verse 26, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. So people in the city, even disciples, they know that it's happening. The Messiah is coming. The king is coming. Now, some Pharisees were upset with what the people said about Jesus Christ, and they tried to ask Jesus to rebuke the disciples, and we remember what Jesus said, Luke chapter 19 and 40. I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. So what the religious leaders said about Jesus Christ? Hey, this fellow is saying that he is a king. Although in a way of mocking Jesus Christ and using this fellow like a disgraceful words, but what they said is true. Because Jesus Christ was and is, will be the king. He was the king who came in the name of the Lord, as the prophets in the Old Testament said. Although Jesus came as the king of the world, the crowd, people, and other people in that area, they wanted one thing was Jesus Christ should be a political king who could rescue them from the hands of the enemies. So there's two big differences. God sent Jesus Christ, his one and only son, to save this world as the king of the world. But the people in the Jerusalem area, the Israelites, were expecting a political king. So two different understanding. And now here the Jewish leader is bringing up this issue to Pilate that he himself said that he is a king, a political king. So that is really threatening Pilate. The scripture declares that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The Messiah is the king. But what people wanted is not Messiah, the Messiah, but not the king who is coming in the name of the Lord, but they wanted a political king to make their lives good and happy. Well, when I read this passage, I thought about, oh, I hear this this phrase many, make this great country great. We want a great king. We want a great leader.
The same thing happened in 2,000 years ago. What they wanted is not the Messiah, but they wanted a political king who could save their nation. So the religious leaders made Jesus not the king from God, but as a revolutionary king who will bring many, many actually troubles to Rome. They are smart people. Although the intention of the third charge was evil, because they want to kill Jesus Christ, we also declare that Jesus Christ is the King who comes, who came in the name of the Lord. So these are three charges. Now, in the Old Testament, it says that if someone is trying to accuse somebody, they have to have two witnesses, not one witness. That will happen in the next story. Although the religious leaders made three charges against Jesus Christ, two are lying, and one is good because Jesus Christ is king. And Pilate was only interested in the third charge. Jesus is, his own testimony of kingship is a serious issue to Pilate. So Pilate had to make sure that Jesus was not what revolutionary king. So he asked in verse 3, hey, are you the king of the Jews? Now what Jesus answered to me is also interesting. Now our ESV Bible said, you have said so. Maybe in that sentence, maybe it'll be very difficult for us to understand, but literal translation for this sentence will be what Jesus said to them is like this. You say so. You say. Jesus didn't say that. You're right. You nailed it. Yes, I am. He didn't say that way. But he was saying like this, hey, what does it look like to you? Saying, you tell me. Now, Luke doesn't say what Pilate said and their conversation, but John did. I'm going to read it from John. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of Jews? Now Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say to you about me? Now Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests that have delivered you over to me. What have you done? What's wrong with you? And Jesus answered, my kingdom, this is very, very important answer to Pilate, because why Pilate will say later, there is nothing wrong with Jesus Christ, based on this said. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. So Pilate asked him, hey, you are the king of the Jews? Are you declaring that you are a king of this nation? If Jesus said yes, you will be in big trouble. But Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. And if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. So Pilate thought, okay, simply, Jesus Christ is not a king. Now Pilate concluded that Jesus was not the revolutionary king who will change the nation and destroying everything. But Jesus is kind of declaring himself a king, self-declaration. So in verse 4, Pilate didn't find any guilt in Jesus Christ. He was trying to release him. He was convinced that Jesus was no threat to Rome. Now, however, the religious leaders, they were keep trying, persisting. They didn't agree with Pilate, and they were more furious and angry and insisting and say that he stirs up the people teaching throughout all Judea and all from Galilee even to this place. What they were trying to say is very simple. Look at him. He is a threat. He is a political threat to you.
He is a dangerous man ever. So you have to do something. They were trying to describe Jesus as a rebellious leader against Rome, which is very dangerous if that is true. Pilate didn't want to make any decision by himself because he found out that Jesus came from Galilee area. And at the same time, he didn't want to take any responsibility of killing the innocent man. So he decided to send Jesus to Herod. Now, our text describes that Herod was literally thrilled when he met Jesus Christ. That is an interesting part as well. Not because he believed that Jesus is the Messiah, but he wanted to see something, signs or miracles done by Jesus Christ, because he heard many things about Jesus Christ. So he wanted to see something. Hey, show me something. So he tried for some time to make Jesus to respond. But Jesus didn't say anything. He said to something Pilate, but Jesus didn't say anything to Herod. Because if Jesus didn't say anything, he was treated like a criminal. In verse 11, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him, then arraying him in a splendid clothing. Eventually, Herod did not find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. He was very disappointed because Jesus Christ did not perform any miracles. But only one thing what he did was he and his soldiers mocked Jesus Christ. The word mocking is, it's not a fun word for even to us. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7 said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. So we can picture what Isaiah said. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Maybe people at the time didn't see what Jesus was trying to do, but we clearly know that Jesus Christ fulfilled the promises from the Old Testament. As I mentioned already, Deuteronomy chapter 19 and 15 teaches that the one witness is not enough to convict anyone of any crime. Any matter in their society and in Jewish culture must be established by two witnesses, by the testimony of two people. Now, what we just heard and saw is two people, Pilate and Herod. They were acting like two witnesses. They both conclude that Jesus was innocent. And Pilate later said, you brought me this man as one who misleading the people. And then after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. So basically, they have to release Jesus Christ. Nothing deserved death has been done by him. I pray that this sentence will remain in your hearts. Nothing deserved death has been done by him. It's declared by the Gentile governor. But the Jewish leaders try to kill Jesus Christ because he was misleading the nation. Now what Luke says in verse 25 is literally striking. He says, he released because the people demanded the Pilate released other guy. So Pilate, he released, instead of Jesus Christ, he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. Lots of stories are mixing here together. Pilate knew that Jesus Christ is innocent, but he could not release Jesus Christ because he was afraid of the people become crazy. Although Pilate declared, the Gentile governor declared that Jesus was innocent, not only one time, not only two times, three times in our text, he mentioned that Jesus is innocent. But unfortunately, he could not carry his decision because he worried about his position. He worried about a riot was beginning about the beginning based on Matthew 27. We didn't see here in Luke, but Matthew describes that the crowd was crazy about to do something. A riot was about the beginning. So the Pilate, for the sake of his security, his own life, he granted what the people wanted. In Luke 23, verse 23, said, their voices prevailed. Not God's voice, but people's voices prevailed. Some interesting facts about our text is this. People wanted to free Barabbas. Yeah, once in a while we hear his name, but the guy who was a murderer. Now in Matthew 27 describes him like a notorious prisoner. He's not a normal guy. And then the word describing about him, if we use that word in today, we could say he was a terrorist in our term. So people wanted a terrorist, a notorious prisoner instead of Jesus Christ. And they decided to crucify Jesus Christ, who was declared by the Pilate and Herod, there's no sin in him, there's nothing wrong in him. But people could decide to crucify Jesus Christ in the place of the murderer. You see the picture in here? Pilate was to be crucified. But God changed the position, Pilate, through the work of Pilate. Jesus Christ came to that position. The people wanted to kill the innocent one, the pure and the perfect lamb. And the people say in verse 18, they all cried out together, away with this man. And in verse 20, crucify and crucify him. Thinking about this guy, Barabbas, he actually did what Jesus was being accused of. He was misleading this nation. He brought lots of country. But unfortunately, all the people, they wanted to kill Jesus Christ instead of this misleading, the true misleading guy. Although we know that Jesus was crucified to fulfill the promise of God, because what we read in Hebrews chapter 19 tells about the meaning of his death. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus Christ, he died on the place of our sin. Jesus died in our place as our substitute to atone for our sins. So if we put ourselves in this story, it could be right to say Paul is right. In 1 Timothy in chapter 1, 15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now, when we read Luke chapter 3 and the other Gospels, we're thinking about only what the Israelites and the religious leaders did to Jesus Christ. But we oftentimes forget about the guy who received God's grace. His name is Barabbas at this moment. As Paul said, we are like this sinner. We are like the worst sinners before God.
like the Barabbas in the story. But the amazing thing is, he came to the world, and he died on the cross on behalf of our sins to save us. The reason that Jesus died on the cross was not because the religious leaders were right. Their accusations are right. No. As they say, Jesus was a political king, a revolutionary king. That's why he died. No. The reason he died on the cross is because of God's love for us. The king, the real king, the true king, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Then as he mentioned in Luke 19, as Paul mentions in Romans 5, we have a peace because of his death. We have a peace God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we call tonight our service is Good Friday service. Brothers and sisters, the world is still doing the same thing. They are accusing our Lord Jesus Christ with so many different things. The Bible clearly teaches that he didn't do anything. Even Gentiles saying that he didn't do anything. What Jesus did to us and to the world is he brought us to God. And Jesus died on the cross to bring us the grace of God. So today is one of the best days of our lives, thinking that, yes, I was like a Barabbas, but I'm the one who received God's grace. No one knows about what happened to this guy, Barabbas. I don't want to speculate about his life. But one thing is true. He received God's grace. He was the worst sinner, but Christ died for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the meaning of your sacrifice on the cross. The smart religious leaders brought lots of false accusations. They had to know, they had to prove that Jesus Christ is Messiah. But unfortunately, the Gentile king, Pilate, declared that there's no sin in Jesus Christ. Lord, it's really awkward to read this passage because sometimes we feel that we just ignore your grace and mercy, but maybe the stones are crying and stones are praying. Lord, thank you so much for your grace for us. And we continue to pray that we bring this wonderful message to people maybe next to us and our neighbors, even to our family members. Because we are the one who receive God's amazing grace, because we were the worst criminals like Barabbas, but we live by his grace. We live by God's grace alone. We pray your son in Jesus' name.